ऑर्गेनाइजर ऑफ दिस मीटिंग.
राइट, मैंने स्टार्ट
हाँ,
किया है.
रिकॉर्डिंग हैज स्टार्टेड बाय, आपका नाम आ रहा है.
ओके ठीक है.
तो
सो
रिकॉर्डिंग
ये
स्टार्ट होने के बाद आपको है ना स्क्रीन पर रेड कलर का आउटलाइन दिख रहा होगा टीम्स मीटिंग
हाँ
का.
एक बटन दिख रहा है मुझे.
हाँ,
हाँ
रेड कलर का. हाँ, तो रिकॉर्डिंग
राइट
स्टार्ट हुआ है.
ठीक है. सो ये मीटिंग 1 घंटा चलेगा. तुम 45 मिनट्स बाद, तुम कनेक्टेड रहो, 45 मिनट्स बाद आके मुझे बताना रिकॉर्डिंग सेव कैसे करना है.
ठीक है,
टेक्निकली
रिकॉर्डिंग
चैलेंज्ड.
रिकॉर्डिंग से ऑटोमेटिकली हो जाता है सर. बस जैसे मीटिंग क्लोज करते हैं ना, वो रिकॉर्डिंग सेव्ड हो जाता है. बस वो रिकॉर्डिंग सेव होने के बाद है ना, चैट में वो
तुम एक बार
मतलब
एक काम करो, तुम म्यूट रहो, 45 मिनट्स बाद वापस आओ एंड मुझे बताना.
ठीक है, आप स्क्रीन शेयर करना उस वक्त मुझे, बस मैं आपको
हाँ
बता दूंगा. ठीक है, मैं म्यूट पर ही हूँ. ठीक है.
ओके ओके. सो आई एम रिकॉर्डिंग दिस मीटिंग बिकॉज वी आर रिक्वायर्ड टू अपलोड द प्रोसीडिंग्स ऑफ अ ग्रुप मीटिंग ऑन टू आवर वेबसाइट. सो थैंक यू ऑल फॉर ज्वाइनिंग. थैंक यू. थैंक्स. Thanks. Yeah. Varun, one of your colleagues also yesterday had phoned saying he's not coming. All right. Yeah. So thanks very much. Thank you all for joining. What I will do is, I guess while some of you would be well versed with our company, it may still make sense to kind of run this discussion based on a presentation so that we get to see what we're talking about. And maybe in a 15-minute, after a 15-minute introductory presentation, we can get into question and answers. Yeah, so just to tell you about Endurance, we have this presentation on the investor page of our website. We started as a die casting company in 1985. Our managing director, who had promoted our company, is related to the Bajaj family. And in 1985, when Bajaj Auto was setting up their plant in Aurangabad, they needed various component suppliers, and Mr. Jain and Endurance then started the die casting operations of the company. Today, we are the largest die casting player in the country. When you look at the revenues that we generate from the two-wheeler, three-wheeler segment, again, we are the largest auto component company in the country. We've added some new products in the last 3 to 4 years, but historically, we've had 4 product ranges. Aluminium die casting, suspension, braking, and transmission. Suspension, braking, and transmission are proprietary products where we have to design the product. Aluminium die casting is a build to print business where the OEM tells us what the product should look like, how we produce it, how we produce the die, how we design the die, how we design the metal flow is something that is our proprietary knowledge. So the process is ours, but the product is designed by the customer. Like I told you, in the last 3 to 4 years, we've added new products. One such product is Advanced Electronics, where after we acquired Maxwell, we are in the business of battery management system, which is the electronic part which controls the power distribution in a battery. We have also started our forgings plant. So while we have been the largest aluminium die casting company, but we have also now gone into aluminium forgings. And we've also started producing drive shafts for three-wheelers. So these are our new products. Financials, I'm sure you would have had access to our numbers. We have a totally deleveraged balance sheet. We are sitting on a generous amount of net cash. We have 19 plants in India, 11 in Europe. We have 5 R&D facilities in India. So we have different products, and we have R&D facilities specifically catering to these products. In addition to that, wherever there are common materials, so for instance, friction material is used in a clutch as well as in a brake. Yeah, or lubrication or oils are used in a brake as well as in a suspension or in a clutch. So we have material specialists also. So for plastics, for metal, for oil, for electronics, we have material specialists. But otherwise, we have R&D facilities which cater to individual products. We also have a 29-acre proving ground in Aurangabad, which is a test track. Basis the R&D centers and the kind of people we have hired in R&D, we have 59 patents and 39 design registrations in our name. So you would probably know that we are known as a very large two-wheeler, three-wheeler auto component company, which is true for our Indian business. 80% of our business is into two-wheelers. 10% of our business, or a little less than 10% of our business, is into three-wheelers in India. When it comes to our European part of the business, which is 25% of our consolidated turnover, in Europe, we are 90% four-wheelers and only 10% two-wheeler focused. So in two-wheelers and three-wheelers in India, we have been a leader for a very long time. We've built this leadership based on bringing in the right kind of technology for the Indian OEMs. So whether it is suspensions, brakes, clutches, we've had very strong technology partners who have given us the initial technology. Using our R&D resources, we have been able to inculcate that technology, or rather internalize that technology. So we are a technology leader in our products, and we've had a long history of profitable growth. Going forward, apart from maintaining the strength in two-wheelers, it is our focus that we should grow in four-wheelers in India as well. So right now, 90% of our European business is four-wheeler, less than 10% of our India business is four-wheeler. So in total, around 27% of our consolidated business is four-wheelers. We would like to take it to 45%. The idea being that the market in India, consumer preferences have been changing from time to time. So when it was motorcycle versus scooter, and we were heavily motorcycle dependent, we realized we needed to take scooter business, and we took HMSI business. When it was ICE versus EV, and we were seeing that in scooters, there's been some kind of a shift towards EV in India as well. So we started focusing a lot more on getting EV related orders. Yeah. Barring Q3, the recent quarters that we have seen has been a faster growth for four-wheelers and a slower growth for two-wheelers. And so that has been one of the triggers why we believe we should focus more on four-wheeler business now. The other trigger being that if you look at what we were doing 5 years ago, we were heavily into Bajaj and Royal Enfield, and we had made inroads into Hero and HMSI. Yeah, we still had to do more business. We had to get into TVS, and we had to do more business with Hero and HMSI. A lot of these objectives have been fulfilled. Even when it comes to new age OEMs, we have built, we've got orders from people like Ather, Okinawa, Hero Electric, though Hero Electric is right now not doing well. Greaves Ampere. So there are a number of EV-focused players who are our customers today. And even when it comes to the largest EV player, Ola, though we don't have any orders from them today, but we have a lot of engagement going on with them. So we believe that while we can continue to consolidate and capitalize on our leadership position on two-wheelers and three-wheelers, there are certain areas where we believe we should focus more and increase the share of business from four-wheelers and from aftermarket in our pie. And of course, for EVs and hybrids, it's a natural, as the industry is moving, we would also be moving. So moving to EV and hybrid would be a more natural progression, because of most of our products are EV agnostic. Hi, please come. Yeah. I think you have to use the other talk.
Oh.
Yeah, most of our products are EV neutral. So suspensions, brakes, aluminum die casting, forgings, yeah, drive shafts, all of this is required both in an ICE vehicle and an EV vehicle. BMS is not required in an ICE vehicle, but is required in an EV vehicle. A clutch is not required in an EV vehicle, but is required in an ICE vehicle. So as things move from ICE to EV hybrid, we would naturally progress there. And we are keeping an eye on which players are dominant in the EV market, and we are making sure that we have some kind of a presence with all of them.
Clutch would be accounting for 5% of it.
Revenue-wise, no, not yet.
Clutch segment.
Oh, clutch. Clutch is less than 5. Clutch is less than 5.
So only that portion is exposed to EV risk.
Right, yeah. In fact, in our presentation, we have... Sorry, not in this. In the quarterly presentation, we give the breakup. It's less than 5 now.
Only that product is exposed to ICE,
right? Right, yeah. Yeah, talking of our corporate structure, we have in India, the listed company is the operating company. Mr. Jain has no other business interests, so there's no question of related party transactions with private companies and things like that. In India, we have only one subsidiary, which is Maxwell, the BMS company which we acquired in 2022. So in 2023, we increased stake from 51% to 56%. We have an agreement with the sellers that we would be buying the entire 100% over a 5-year time frame. In Germany also, we have a single operating company, which is a 100% subsidiary. In Italy, we have an SPV, which directly and indirectly is a 100% subsidiary. So all our entities barring Maxwell are 100% owned by us. Yeah. In Italy, the SPV has made a number of acquisitions over the years. The initial acquisitions that were made was in the die casting and machining area, aluminium focused, apart from one plastic. This is a smaller plastics business. But the recent acquisitions have been more in the two-wheeler area. Just like in India, we would like to de-risk the business by doing more four-wheeler, apart from growing the two-wheeler business. In Europe, while we would like to continue to grow the four-wheeler business, we've introduced, through acquisitions, some two-wheeler aftermarket business as well. Yeah, I think I mentioned to you that we have 19 plants in India, 11 in Europe. We have a total of more than 5,000 employees. Yeah, this is our journey as far as corporate events go. We were formed as Anurang Engineering. The managing director and promoter's name is Anurang Jain. So the company was formed under this name. Then we formed another company, Endurance Systems, Endurance Suspension Systems. And this was a JV with a clutch manufacturer in Italy. Subsequently, that Italian party exited and we acquired 100% stake. And then over a period of time, all of these entities were merged into Endurance India. In FY07, we acquired Endurance GmbH in Germany and immediately thereafter the Italian company. So this was it was a very critical step for us to grow our business beyond India. It was critical for us because we had to kind of de-risk ourselves from the single customer status that we had. At that point in time, almost 85% of our sales went to Bajaj Auto. So this was a de-risking measure. The timing, at that time, we had thought that it was terrible timing because immediately after these acquisitions and we had put in the money, we had the global financial crisis. But I think our European business has done exceedingly well to come out of the crisis. And after that, for successive number of years, we've posted excellent results. So much so that even during the energy crisis, when many casting companies were forced to shut down, we continued to post double-digit EBITDA in our European business. Yeah, so, and then subsequently, we've made more acquisitions. I think I've already explained that in Europe, we've made some of our recent acquisitions have been in order to grow the two-wheeler aftermarket business. And in India, the Maxwell company that we acquired, it was to get into the electronics business because they have a good track record of 5 to 6 years of producing battery management systems. Technology, I'll not go through. Our focus has been to tie up with good overseas technology partners so that we can offer to Indian OEMs what they're looking for. So the Indian OEMs, when they come to us, they don't have to compromise on technology. And then using our own R&D resources in India, we try to further improve the product so that it is more usable for Indian conditions, for Indian riding habits, and also cost optimize if possible. I'll take take a quick, I'll request you to take a quick look at this. So this is our 29-acre proving ground. It has various kinds of tracks where we can test our products. This has improved our product development cycle. There have been occasions where the OEM's test tracks are too busy, and if we were to depend on their test tracks or on government test tracks, we would take much longer to get our product cleared. There are times when for other products also, the OEMs request us to allow them to use this test track. I already mentioned that we focus a lot on R&D, developing the product, testing and validating, manufacturing, delivery on time. Each time is something that we, of course, have to focus, because we can't have an OEM's line being affected because of our non-delivery. In terms of after-sales service, we are present in the aftermarket for our proprietary products. We are committed to sell the spare parts to the OEM as well. And also, if the OEM is facing any issue with performance, we have engineers to be on the field to understand what has been the reason for that performance issue. And if it is because of anything that Endurance could do better, we give feedback to our plants and R&D centers for that. In terms of our legacy products, I think I told you that we had primarily four legacy casting, including alloy wheels, which is also a die casting part. Then we have suspensions, we have clutches, and we have brakes. So these are the products that we have traditionally been into. In the last 2-3 years, we've added ABS. So this anti-lock braking system, it's an electronic part that goes with the brake. We've added BMS, another electronic part for which we acquired Maxwell. Driveshaft was something that we introduced as a new product organically. So we hired engineers to design the product and set up our plant. For aluminum forgings, we have brought in technology from an Italian company and have set up a plant. And aluminum castings, while we were doing for ICE vehicles in the last few years, we've started doing for EVs and for non-auto applications. So when I say non-auto applications, we have orders from a cell phone tower manufacturing company called Sanmina. And we also have an order from a generator manufacturing company in the US called Generac. What we aim to do in the future is to bring electronics into more products, which would include suspensions. So suspensions, when you're riding a motorcycle on the road or off the road, depending on the road surfaces, you may want to differentiate between the ride feel. And for that, currently we have a flip switch in some of our suspensions, which can be taken electronically. So the product has been developed. We would like to sell this to our customers now. Again, for like we have ABS, BMS, and in the future we will have electronic suspensions. We would also like to do more embedded electronic parts, for which we have set up a so while embedded electronics would require software capabilities, which we would have to either acquire or develop, but it also requires hardware capabilities to punch the electronic parts onto a printed circuit board. So in this month, in February of 2024, we have gone live with commercial production in our surface mounting technology line. In the clutch segment, we are not present in the 200cc plus category. Yeah, but we have the technology through our European subsidiary Adler. We have the technology to do assistant slip kind of clutches for the 200cc plus category. And it's only a matter of time that our product gets accepted by the OEMs. We would like to do more four-wheeler parts. For instance, the drive shaft that we do now, or the BMS that we do now, we do only for two-wheelers. But going forward, we would like to do that for four-wheelers as well. Within two-wheelers, our anti-lock braking system, we currently use the ABS only for a single-wheel application. Yeah, but larger motorcycles would have dual-channel ABS, and that's a market. Within the next financial year, we should be there in this product as well. I think we've spoken a little bit about products. And in Europe, like I said, we are a four-wheeler focused aluminium die-casting company. Though we have a little bit of plastics and a little bit of two-wheeler offering, but largely into aluminium die-casting. But you, I mean, in Europe, we do a lot of parts for EVs as well. So the EV market in Europe is, of course, more mature than it is in India. And for EVs and hybrids, we've started doing a lot of parts in Europe. We believe that when the Indian market is more mature on EVs and more EV production happens in India, we should be able to take the advantage of the fact that our European subsidiary already has experience on those parts. I think we discussed this, the fact that clutch will not be required in an EV. Yeah, and BMS is currently not required in an ICE, but is required in an EV. And I think you asked, right, whether 5% of, yeah, you asked whether, so it's around 5% of consolidated sales in FY23. Yeah, we are a very dominant player in suspensions. As you can see, we had 41% share of the market and 36% share of the market in suspension products. We are also a very dominant player in the disc brake systems market. This was showing us 34% in FY23, but it's now above 40% because we've added one more brakes plant last year. Brake discs. So the number of discs that we supply, so some vehicle manufacturers, they only buy the disc from us. So where we are the leaders. And in clutches, we are not a dominant player, but we are a very important player. As far as competition goes, in clutches, our biggest competitor is FCC of Japan, who has a base in India, and also to an extent, XZD of Japan. So there are two Japanese competitors.
In brake discs, is it Brembo?
In brake systems, it is Brembo. So they also make brake discs, but I'm not sure if they sell brake discs in isolation. Yeah, in brake systems, Brembo is the main competitor. There's a small Japanese competitor called Nissin. So in both in clutches and brakes, there's no Indian competitor. Brembo is Italian, yeah. In suspensions, our big competitors are Gabriel, Showa, Munjal Showa, and to an extent, Kayaba. Kayaba is a Yamaha-linked company. Yeah, in newer products, forging, we had to set up our own plant because we were not able to find good forging suppliers for our inverted front forks. So you can say that in the automotive forging, aluminum forging market, there are not too many players. And in drive shafts, we compete against, again, two MNCs, GKN and Nexteer.
Just wanted to understand disc brake system and brake disc, you know, when you say system, what all is added?
I'll try and show you something. Yeah, so the disc brake system would include the disc, which is attached to the wheel. Right. This is also attached to the wheel. So this, when you apply the hand lever, yeah, there would the oil would flow into this tube. Yeah, and it would activate something which would compress and hold the disc. So the disc is a moving part and this is a stationary part. And when the hand lever is applied, this will catch the disc.
Is this disc brake system or is this is disc brake?
The entire thing is a disc brake system. And this one, when it is sold individually, it's a brake disc. Okay. So there's one customer in India who only buys the brake disc from us. And there's one customer who buys brake discs for their overseas operations. Yeah, so that's why our share in brake discs is higher than our share in the overall system. But our share in the overall system is also a very healthy 41%. Yeah. And this is the product that came in as a legal mandatory safety requirement in, I think, 2020, the ABS for vehicles above 125cc. So what this does is that in these tubes, the oil flow, if you don't have an ABS, the moment you press this, it only has the action of going and pressing the brakes. Yeah, if the brakes are applied suddenly, then the vehicle tends to skid because the wheel has stopped rotating. What this does is a software which is able to read signals from the brake disc. So we know when the wheel has stopped rotating, and based on algorithms, yeah, the past experience of wheel behavior is being captured in algorithms here, and the algorithms then decide whether to apply the brakes or release the brakes. Now, this would happen multiple times in a second. So, which would mean that so that's the purpose of an ABS. We are the only company for two-wheelers that does the whole brake system, including the ABS. Yeah, so we have the algorithms for the ABS, and we have an assembly line for the ABS. And the February, the plant that we set up in February, so the SMT plant that we set up now, would be able to take one step back, and we could also print on the printed circuit board. Assemble it on the printed circuit board, which we right now do it through a Korean supplier based in Chennai. Yes. So within this, valves were imported. So the valves are inside of this. The valves which were imported, we have started manufacturing it ourselves as a backward integration. Also, this tube here, which you can see is a rubber tube, which was good for non-ABS applications. The moment we moved to ABS applications, we had to move to a steel braided hose. Yeah, the steel braided hose, which we were importing from Spain. Yeah, when we started seeing more volumes and the Spanish supplier was quite expensive, we now do the steel braided hose also inside. So that's been another, thanks for pointing this out. Our focus has been there on backward integration when it comes to, particularly when it comes to imports.
Sort of added to the entire bucket, this entire assembly in your
we've not disclosed the prices. Yeah, I'll come back to the corporate presentation. Yeah, so talking of market share in castings, we don't try to assess the market share because it's a very fragmented market. There are many smaller players also, but when it comes to larger players, we know how much capacity they have, and we know that we are by far the largest when it comes to aluminum die casting in the country.
In forgings, you said that you didn't find good enough suppliers for aluminum forgings, but there are a few smaller players which have been there and doing aluminum forgings for quite some time.
Yes.
So what is it that you thought was lacking?
Pricing, for sure. I mean, we realized that if we were to go to these Indian suppliers, we had to pay even more than what we were paying the Spanish supplier. Sorry, forgings was from Italy, from the Italian supplier. Wire braided hoses were from Spain. Yeah, it's in the front fork. So if you see the front forks, yeah, this is a conventional front fork and this is an inverted front fork. Inverted front fork has the lower diameter tube down below. The conventional front fork has it up here. Yeah, in terms of comfort and ride handling, this is a superior product. So when it comes to a higher CC bike, they would invariably have a inverted front fork. Yeah, but the inverted front fork requires a lot of strength in these parts. Yeah, which is why these have to be aluminium forged parts.
Oh.
Inverted front forks, there's literally no one. I mean, we are by far, I don't know the percentage, but in inverted front forks, we must be controlling 90% of the market. And if you have small scale, then it doesn't make sense to have your own forging press. Only when we grew in size with more and more Bajaj, Dominars and KTMs and now Triumphs, also other players buying our from Hero and Honda and TVS also, we have inverted front fork orders. So with so many orders, now it made sense for us to set up our forging press. Having set up our forging press, we saw that there's an external market also for this. So right now we've got two orders, one from an Indian two-wheeler company and one from JLR. Yeah, in Europe, again, we've not attempted to do a market share for aluminium die casting, but we are among the key suppliers when it comes to financially strong suppliers. And now with the energy crisis and low offtake in Europe, financial strength has become even more important than what it used to be in the pre-COVID world. Yeah. We are seeing that we are probably among the only three or four people that OEMs can dependably go to. I'll not cover financials and industry numbers because I'm sure you study that in great details in any case. And our European results are also shown separately. Aftermarket is a focus area for us. We are currently around 6% of standalone sales. And in Europe, also something similar, a single digit number of our Endurance Europe sales. But in India, which there's a business we established in 2001. It's counter-cyclical, so it's good for us whenever the OEM cycles are not good. Typically, aftermarket does better. So we would like to be stronger in this area. It's B2C, higher margin. So we have a lot of focus on growing this. In the recent past, our approach to this business has changed from this being a side business to our main OEM business. We focus a lot on this business, focus a lot on, I mean, region-wise, we were always looking at a corporate level, we were always looking at how different regions in the country are doing. Now it's a lot more down to state level and district level analysis for review of performance of our aftermarket and strategizing the growth in our aftermarket.
Which are the kind of products that are there in the aftermarket?
So among our four traditional products, castings is a build-to-print. We don't own the design, so we can't sell it in the aftermarket. The other three products, clutches, brakes, and suspensions, those are our designs. So in the clutch plates tend to wear and they get replaced. In the brakes also, there are parts, but suspensions is our biggest aftermarket product.
Generally, historically, OEMs haven't been great fans of the suppliers also entering into aftermarket while doing OEM. And they always do like the suppliers being more OEM specific. So what has changed? And I mean, in
so I think the OEMs have come to terms with the fact that it's not only Endurance. Suppose Endurance was into the aftermarket, while Gabriel, Munjal, Showa, and Showa was not in the aftermarket. Yeah, then a Bajaj or a Hero would treat us differently. They would tend to give less orders to Endurance. But here's a market where everybody is in the aftermarket. So, I mean, they have to come to one of us. So we are, and by now they recognize, I think there was some litigation also many years ago, where it was concluded that an ancillary, he is bound to sell aftermarket products to the OEM because he has sold the main part. And even after the product is phased out, I think there's a 7 or 8 year rule that after the OEM stops manufacturing for a certain number of years, we have to keep our factories ready to manufacture that part to serve the OEM's aftermarket. So that is an obligation on the ancillary. But the ancillary, because the ancillary has designed the product, yeah, so we are free to sell it under our brand. We can't tell the aftermarket that, hey, this shock absorber goes with the Bajaj Pulsar, because Bajaj Pulsar is Bajaj's brand. Yeah, that is something that the dealer has to tell the mechanic, or the mechanic has to tell the consumer that this is an Endurance shock absorber and it fits exactly the way a Bajaj Pulsar shock absorber would fit.
In that case, your distribution network would have to be really strong.
It is. It is, right. So we have 501 distributors in India, 46 overseas.
The OEMs, I mean, they would generally have a lot more touch points.
So which is why typically, not in all products, but typically our pricing is a shade below the OEMs and well above the spurious market.
Just from a margin perspective, these distributors slash dealers are also the ones where the OEM is also
typically with our OEMs we have an agreement that we will not poach their distributors.
So then this would be basically the dealers would be largely garages.
No, I think there are wholesale distributors in cities, and then the garages are in cities, towns, villages, everywhere.
So when you say dealers, the 500, they are distributors?
Yes. I mean, they are people who buy directly from us, and then they would be selling down the line. Some of them may be wholesale distributors, some may be selling to mechanics.
Like, we have a broad market.
So in the European business, we only do aluminium die casting. So in India, we have all these businesses of aluminium die casting, suspension, brakes, clutches, drive shaft, forgings, BMS. Yeah, in Europe, we've had only aluminium die casting, and then we had a small plastics business. Very recently, we've acquired some companies in the two-wheeler space, but they are very small in comparison to what we do here in India in two-wheelers.
If you think, were there only small acquisitions?
No, the EV, what we are talking, so I'll just run you through the European product catalog. Yeah, so castings is maybe 85 to 90% of our Europe turnover. So they come in various shapes, and these different shapes are required for EVs, which are shown here and in the next slide. Yeah, and there are shapes which are required for ICE vehicles, which are shown here. Now, so Europe is a aluminium die casting four-wheeler focused operation. Yeah, 90% is that. 10% would be what we have done recently for two-wheelers. That has been shown in a small way down below. So there is some brake system parts. We don't do the entire brake system. Like in India, we have a full-fledged brake system, including ABS. There, we do only some parts. Yeah. Similarly, on the transmission side. So transmission, yes, Adler does the full clutch. Like we do a full clutch, Adler has the capability. In fact, they do better clutches than us. I told you about the 200cc category. And again, these are brake systems. These are smaller parts, which, so we assemble all of this and do a much more complex braking system in India. The European business does only smaller parts. Yes, in the aftermarket, we export. And also suspensions, we export to KTM in Austria and in China, and I think one more country. And aluminium die casting also, we export. Our exports would be less than 5% of our sales.
The plan, that's like the
aftermarket. Not very much. Not very much. I mean, so for aftermarket, for four-wheelers, for non-auto applications, we have separate teams and we've kind of given them deliverables, but not so much for exports. Right now, the team which does India sales also does exports.
Like Europe business, what kind of commentary are you getting from your from the OEMs on in terms of demand and in terms of the programs which they're giving you? How is that? How are they scaling up?
So in terms of demand, Europe mein there is a problem with high interest rates and inflation. The mid and low segment cars are not selling because people are more worried about food on the table than replacing their car. But the higher end vehicles, they are selling fine, which means the EVs are selling fine. The hybrids and ICEs are not doing very well. High end nowadays, mostly people are buying EVs in Europe.
So just to add to this, you know, the peak sales happened sometime in 2019 in Europe. That's the registration. I don't have the production numbers. There's something coming in, there's something going out.
Yeah.
There was an auto ink ecosystem in Europe at the time. The last 5 years, a lot of that has dissolved, or some part of it has dissolved.
True. In our die casting space also, we are seeing that.
That would allow you to come in to fill the gap.
Yes.
What sort of room is there more in terms of what kind of sub-assemblies you can get? Have you done some sort of analysis over here?
Not so much in terms of products. See, there's a strategy team doing... I get a drift, so let me try and explain and then you can ask a follow-up question if it's not clear. But when it comes to newer products, yes, there's a strategy team working on what M&A opportunities are available, more so because of this churn in the market. Yeah, so that's on newer products. Now, sticking to our main product of aluminium die casting and machining. So the as cast part has to be machined before it can go into the vehicle. So both in die casting and machining, we are seeing a lot of opportunities for M&A. We are also seeing a lot of opportunities where even if you don't want to buy out the company, we can temporarily buy out capacity. So all that is kind of on the radar. Key. If we have to grow in a particular business, we can either set up our own capex or we can use others' capacities. The key difference between our capacities and some of the weaker players who have kind of dissolved is the extent of automation. In Endurance, after the financial crisis, when we saw volumes coming back, we spent a lot on automation, which has made our plants more efficient on a per employee basis and things like that. And going forward also, we want to follow this philosophy, which is why we are setting up a lot of new plants as we are getting orders for EVs and hybrids. There's a lot of capex happening in Europe. In the last 9 months, we've done 36 million euros of capex, which is by far the largest that we have seen in the last, I mean, ever since acquisition, we've not seen so much capex, but then we've not seen so much new order intake also. The kind of orders that we've got for EVs and hybrids, it's quite large. It's literally equal to our annual turnover.
You know, you showed an earlier target of moving from two-wheelers to four-wheelers. As an ancillary player, how do you think the margins and profitability in general work between a two-wheeler versus a four-wheeler ancillary player? I mean, given that where our margins are today on the domestic business, obviously we have got high market share and obviously there are a lot of efficiencies that would have squeezed with higher volumes. But given the fact that four-wheeler itself is a low volume, relatively lower volume play, and generally not seen so much high margins except probably for coaching players on the CV side, how do you see your margins playing out in that part of the business?
So up till now, our philosophy, and I mean it continues to be, our philosophy is that our increased sales should not come at a margin drag. So when it comes to our casting business growing in the four-wheeler side, we have always insisted that we want to do machined castings. Yeah, not the raw castings, which typically Maruti would like to buy, which is why Maruti is not on our customer list right now. Yeah, so Hyundai, Kia, Mahindra, Tata, all these new orders that we have got, these are machined orders where we make handsome margins.
And even the asset turns are similar?
Not as good as proprietary because, the asset turns are not as good as proprietary because casting business is a capital intensive business. So, but then we have to see our business in totality.
Right.
Yeah, so particularly on the two-wheeler side, we have to sell castings and then also sell proprietary products. So we see it as a basket. In four-wheelers, while we don't do proprietary products, mm-hmm. we have to ensure that our pricing is good enough to meet our overall margin requirement. Even if it is a little on a ROCE basis, there could be some reduction because of accepting that order. But that is because we are into only in aluminium die casting, which is a capital intensive business when it comes to four-wheelers. Going forward, when we say 45% of our turnover should come from four-wheelers, I'm sure we would be adding more lines of business. So whatever we've learned, say, in suspensions over the years, we have to graduate to four-wheeler suspensions. Or whatever we've learned in alloy wheels.
What would be those products like? What would be those?
Suspensions, brake, alloy wheels, drive shafts, BMS. From our existing products, it could be either of these. We had less focus also. I think I mentioned also that a few years ago, we said that there's so much room to grow in two-wheelers, which was the case because we had to target newer customers, people like TVS, Ather, Ola. These are customers we've targeted in the last 5 years with success in all except Ola. And also in the products, we were having a limited range. And we said we want to do more paper-based clutches. We want to be there with inverted front fork options for lower segment bikes. Yeah, we want to do suspensions not only for the 790, but also for the 1290cc. Yeah, on the brake side, we wanted to do ABS. So there was a lot of things that we saw as growth avenues within the two-wheeler segment, And now we're saying that, okay, we've done enough. Let's capitalize on that. So, I mean, the slide which I showed you at the start, that was an outcome of this strategy, that let's continue to focus on two-wheelers, but also let us focus on these things so that we grow these and de-risk the two-wheeler versus three-wheeler. Though we are firm believers that it's going to be a great number of years before we see that India mein people are not buying two-wheelers and are only roaming around in cars. Yeah, I think it will take a number of years before that situation arrives. But whatever it is, if there is a shift in the market, we should be able to capture the shift.
Did you say that more of the growth will be from shift to four-wheelers and from the Europe business?
India, I think, will outpace Europe. Yeah, because as a market also, we believe India would outpace Europe. But yeah, four-wheelers and aftermarket, we expect that to outpace two-wheeler OEM business.
Two-wheeler OEM will just be the industry growth, right?
We can't have incremental market. We can. I mean, see, if I look at some of the vehicles where we sell multiple parts, yeah, and we compare the cost of our parts versus the vehicle's ex-factory price, yeah, we reach up to 15 to 16%. Yeah, but then there are many scooters where we are today 0%, or there are some vehicles where we are 7 to 8%. So there is room to displace someone, yeah.
7 to 15.
Yes, and typically these we have experienced that it is easier to do this displacement in a growing market. Yeah, the last 3-4 years has been a shrinking market. There's been less of displacement because OEMs also do not want to unnecessarily reduce somebody else's share. But in a growing market, the person who can put the best foot gets in. Yeah, so there, I mean, we've had a track record of growing very well in a growing market. In current market conditions, our growth has come from higher value add in the products. So more, like I said, paper-based clutches, more inverted front forks.
So essentially your growth, if you look at your order book, let's say on the call, is from new models and new products within that. Sorry, new models and new components, right?
Yeah.
So you're not displacing anyone, really.
Right. Right now in the market, I think there's very little displacement that's happening, except for some import substitution in alloy wheels and brakes.
What about ABS? There's two other big guys, right?
Yeah, in ABS we are
Bosch and.
But that's a market growth. It's a market growth because okay, you can say that Bosch has acquired that market as it became mandatory 3 or 4 years ago. But if you look at a longer term picture, 10 years ago versus now, it's a market growth where Bosch was the only supplier, literally. I mean, Continental has a very small stake.
You said content to offer is 15-16% when it comes to two-wheeler.
Yes.
This would be motorcycle, right? Predominantly.
Yes. I don't think it should be very different in a scooter also.
Okay. And what would be that for four-wheeler?
Four-wheeler, right now, we are only into aluminum castings. So we haven't done that calculation, but it's very low. I mean, see, for us, I mean, why we do this calculation is that when we see that there's a model and we do an analysis, key, the top models where we sell 15-16%, and then there is another middle area where we sell between 8-11%, and then there's another area where we sell between 0-5% or something like that. So we know that these are the models that we need to target. So our marketing team is then given, so whoever is dealing, say, with HMSI on a regular basis. So he's then given the target that not only in this model, but also in this model, I mean, for new launches and for this thing, for existing models also. Like I said, in a growing market, it's easier to displace. Otherwise, displacement is difficult. But at least our salespeople have this focus that there are models where our penetration is low.
Yeah, just on the margin strength, I want to understand, because we have backwards integration, is there an advantage compared to other players?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the purpose of backward integration, so there are multiple reasons why we do backward integration. One is to cut costs and increase our own profits, then to cut working capital, because if we are importing, then we always have to keep lead time in mind. Yeah, and also supply chain issues. So aaj ocean freight badh raha hai, kal ocean freight kam ho raha hai, all those are out of the picture if you're producing it in the country. And like you said, it's very important for us to also pass on some benefit to the OEM. That kind of creates a competitive wall, because we have that edge which our competitor is not able to give.
When you talk about 45% of revenue from four-wheeler, that's at the consolidated level, right?
Yes. Go up to- yes, yes. So currently it's 26 and we want to go up to 45. Yeah. You had a question on Maxwell, yeah. So Maxwell, you know, it does the, it's into embedded electronics, mainly BMS. So like an ABS, BMS is also an embedded electronic. It has to read signals from the battery. And there are algorithms which have been developed based on past experiences, which triggers actions, meaning where to pull the power from, whether to pull the power from cell A or from cell B, and how fast to pull the, to draw the power so that you can maximize on range and efficiency and life of the battery. So this is what the BMS actually does.
This is for two-wheeler India market.
Currently, yes. Yeah.
And where do we source cell from?
We don't source the cell. So our product would look something like, sorry. Our product would look something like this. So it's a printed circuit board with transistors, resistors.
Assembly of BMS?
We are doing the assembly of BMS inside of Endurance.
So there's a software component.
The software component is owned by Maxwell. The algorithm is owned by Maxwell. Up till now, Maxwell used external parties to do the hardware integration. In February, we've set up our own surface mounting technology line, which enables us to do the hardware assembly ourselves.
So, my ignorance here, wouldn't a guy, wouldn't an OEM want to internalize this?
So there's a
precarity of
But I mean, clutch is critical, brakes are critical. There is but there is you're not alone when you think of this. There are many people who have thought of this, and many OEMs also who have
are already doing
it. There was somebody who did a kind of analysis for us and said that in the West also, Tesla, who was the kind of leader or the front runner in EV, they did it themselves. But the ones who follow, they have had to do a catch up. So they would not have the luxury of time to do it themselves. Yeah, which is why a lot of the European OEMs, they have gone to BMS suppliers. Yeah. Similarly, in India, Ola has done it himself. Yeah.
Right.
And most of the others are depending on external suppliers.
Who will be customer in BMS? Bajaj?
So Hero MotoCorp is the largest customer. Yeah. We also have orders from RE, which we announced this quarter.
Reeves and Hero
Electric. Reeves and Hero Electric. Yeah. So
Electric or?
Hero MotoCorp is the largest customer. For the Vida. Yeah, but Hero Electric is also a customer.
In the sense that because the battery would be one part, the motor would be another part of
it. Many years ago, I think it was an Axis conference where down below in the hall, Rajiv Bajaj was speaking, and I attended that session. And he said, I'm not a manufacturer, I'm a brand. So maybe all OEMs don't think like that. So, and maybe when he also says this, he knows that he has to keep some critical operations inside. But I think they're pretty open that, especially when there's a ancillary company, there are many like Endurance, where we have had a track record of delivery and continuous improvement. Yeah, so And our focus is on these four or five products. He has to focus on the entire vehicle. Right. So, I mean, if he wants a vehicle with a certain weight and a certain weight carrying capacity and a certain battery range, that is something Bajaj Auto would decide. But uske andar BMS, which is the best fit, he would leave it to us. I mean, I'm giving Bajaj Auto as an OEM's name. I mean, that's also a model. But you're right. There are cases like Ola where they've decided to keep the BMS technology in-house. And they were able to do that as they were front runners and they had time on their side.
Another way to maybe ask this question, going forward with more and more improvements happening in the BMS, what do you expect is the time to market that you will end up saving versus OEM doing it internally? Because you would be continuously focusing on this. And
exactly. Yeah. It's very difficult to tell you in months or something. Yeah. I'm sure it won't be weeks. It will be months. But it's very difficult to tell you how much would be the differential. Yeah. So we have in Maxwell, we have roughly 90 engineers. Yeah. Of course, we are working on maybe four projects at a time. So the senior people would be working on all the projects, and then there would be 20, maybe 10 engineers working on a single project. Yeah, if any OEM wants to do it, they would have to devote those 10 engineers on working on the algorithms, and they would have to have 10 or 15 senior people also dedicated to that, because it's totally different from a clutch or a brake. You know, these kind of embedded electronic applications will require deployment of people. Now, one OEM might feel that it's better to deploy these people in-house. Another might feel it's better to outsource. Yeah. We are banking on the latter, of course. Yeah, and there is a history. You know, Maxwell has delivered more than 150,000 BMSs on the roads till now. So the algorithms have been proven. While for a new player, even if it is an OEM-backed player, they would have to still deliver. So that would also play on the OEM's mind. Am I trying to build something from scratch, or am I using somebody's available expertise? Have I told you about the incentives in this meeting?
No.
Yeah. So the Maharashtra state government encourages capital investment in backward regions. We are in a part of Aurangabad, which has been kind of notified as a backward region. And the Maharashtra government returns the entire capital expenditure to us. Yeah, of course, it's a period of time. So in 2013, they had announced that between 2013 and 2019, yeah, if you do 250 crore of CAPEX, you will get the entire CAPEX back. Yeah, we ended up doing 446 crore of CAPEX.
This is Waluj, right?
Waluj, yeah.
And BMS is also happening in Waluj.
Exactly, yeah.
2013, 2019?
That's the first scheme. That's the first scheme. I'll come to the second scheme now. So in the first scheme, out of 446 crore, we have recognized income of 380 crores. We have received cash of 250 crores from the government. Yeah, the income recognition...
Received how much?
250. I can give you exact numbers, but I'm telling you ballpark. Yeah. Yeah. So the method of recognizing revenue, I mean, you may want to ask why have we recognized only 380 and not the entire 446? There are various stages. The first stage is to get an eligibility certificate from the government. So our eligibility certificate says 446 crore. Yeah. The eligibility certificate also says that able to get this over a period of 7 years. So out of a 7x eligibility certificate, I would then recognize 1x in each year. But then the government says that out of 1x, 0.9x you will get for that year. 0.1x you will have to wait for the GST audit. So what we do is that 0.9x we record in that year. But there's one more condition, that 0.9x you can record provided you have enough SGST sales, state GST sales. We have enough state GST sales because Bajaj is our largest customer buying out of Maharashtra. So basis the quantum of sales within the state, yeah, we book in Q1 and then we book in Q2 and we finish that 0.9x. So there's nothing left for Q3 and Q4. So a lot of analysts were surprised with our Q3 results, negatively surprised with our Q3 results. And we've told them that please look at Q2 versus Q3, but remove the incentives from Q2 to have an apple-to-apple comparison. Because this will happen every year. Under the 2013 scheme, it has happened every year that we book in the first two quarters and don't book in the last two quarters. Now coming to the next scheme, which is the 2019 scheme. Yeah, this is for capital investment between FY20 and FY24. And we are expecting this to be increased by 1 year. Yeah, so here the base minimum required was 350 crores. Yeah, our capital expenditure is well above 450 crores in this Waluj region. So we are in the process of compiling our application and we should be filing. If the year does not get extended, then we should be filing the application in June of this year. Yeah,
over
once we
350.
Over 400. The base was 350, but our capex is more than 450 crores. So we would be applying for the eligibility certificate. Once we get the eligibility certificate, again, we'll go through the rigmarole of 7x divided by 7 into 0.9. And then looking at the state GST sales, again, we expect similar or larger amounts coming as incomes in the first two quarters of all years.
You just assume 70 crores a year. 65 crores a year.
Going forward, more than that. Also, this 0.1x, which is still not recorded from the first scheme, that will get recorded in the next 2-3 years as the GST audit happens. And the cash will get collected. If you're more interested in cash, then cash will get collected beyond the 250 crores, which we have already collected.
What is the timeline in terms of the cash? How do they?
It requires some perseverance, particularly during the COVID years, they had become slow. But otherwise, Maharashtra's finances are not in bad shape. They're fine. Yeah.
On the aftermarket, I just want to come back for a second. You know, you mentioned that the OEMs have their own aftermarkets as well. Why was it not easier to sell through the OEMs aftermarkets for the suspension products, wherein they already have a huge distribution network, than setting up our own, going through that entire process? So what was more beneficial? Why was it more beneficial rather for us?
Because they control the pricing, right? When they give us an order, so suppose they are launching a new vehicle. Yeah, they tell us that for 100 rupees, we will buy the suspension from you.
Mm.
Yeah, for the vehicle. And then for 105 rupees, we will buy the suspension from you for the aftermarket. Yeah, now this 105 will not change, except for metal price fluctuations and all that. Otherwise, the 105 will not change. Right.
Mm.
While we are able to sell this for 120, because what they buy from us at 105, they may be selling at 130.
Right. But see, again, I'm asking from the context that...
Because if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. So for instance, when TVS was not our customer, yeah. So suppose TVS was buying all their shock absorbers from Gabriel.
Mm.
Yeah. And Gabriel tells TVS that, look, I will not supply to the aftermarket. I'll supply only to you. Yeah, but there is Endurance who will look at TVS's suspension needs of that vehicle. We were doing it. We were selling TVS compatible shock absorbers in the market. So somebody else will come and fill in that space.
Right.
There'll be spurious people who will be wrongly using TVS brand name. There will be Chinese people who will be selling with something inside. I mean, now of course China doesn't have a bad name as far as product quality is concerned, but there was a time. Yeah.
I have one more question. What sort of your production is as per your OEM's their schedules, right? What kind of schedules are you seeing? So I'm just trying to understand how much in is it like a 3 month or a 6 month planning? How is it?
They give us at the start of the annual budget exercise, they give us a 12 month planning, but they are also hamstrung. Because they wouldn't know. So they would know their production plan for the next 2 months or so, and we have to gear up for that. When they tell us that this is a 1 year plan, we know which OEMs, we know the psychology of different OEMs. So in some cases we water it down by 5%, in some cases we water it down by 40%.
Would you be able to talk about the psychology of
No, certainly not.
But what are you hearing? Are they sort of seeing positive surprises there in terms of
I don't speak to my operating team or sales team regarding these near-term things, because I believe as investors you also shouldn't. So therefore, I don't keep that information with me. I would like you to focus on the bigger picture, the longer term picture. So, yeah.
Apart from Bajaj, which of the OEMs do you think is most disciplined? If you can answer that.
I honestly do not know, because I don't have an interaction with them. I've heard others talk about this, that we need to water down from what they say, especially if it comes to new capital investment.
Yeah.
If it doesn't entail new capital investment, theek hai, you buy 10 crores worth of inventory, is mahina mein nahi toh, next mahina mein use hoga. So that's also a pain point, because 10 crores pe 1 month ka, it's quite a few lakhs going wasted as interest. But that's all right, rather than spend money and build machines and then find that you really didn't need those machines. Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. I really like the fact that you had a lot of questions. Pratosh, you're there? I don't know. I don't disclose.
Is the product's presentation on the website?
No.
It's the corporate presentation.
The corporate one and the quarterly one is on the website. Yeah. The products, you got a sneak preview today.
Yeah. It's just nice to see what the products look like.
Yes, but then there are so many changes. And then, so, I mean, to leave it on the website, I would need customer clearances and things like that. So I can't leave it on the website. But yes, when we discuss, it's certainly helpful.
Yeah, it was helpful when I did the plant visit, I think last year.
Okay, yeah.
That time it was finally good to see you.
Yeah.
What is it that we're talking about?
Sorry, give me your name again.
Rohil Gandhi from BP Affairs.
Yes, yes, I now remember. Yeah. Right.
Good.
You are Hathvi and you are Varun. Right. Yeah.
Hathvi,
sorry. So I know who in the group was more interested and who was kind of just here because Axis told them to be.
Nobody is here because Axis told them.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you.
Just that some of you guys are more keen than the others, and also, if you can stop the recording.
Pratosh, I'll stop the recording. I say stop recording.
Yes. Okay. And also, some of these guys.
So, where does it get saved? How do I send it to my team who will upload it?
So, it will be.
I think it comes after. After a while, no?
Still going on. The meeting is
going on. Pratosh, should I leave the meeting?
I think it will be saved in some of your folder only.
I think I
Teams folder.
Usko push leta hu main whether I should leave the meeting.
You can leave the meeting. Ab kuch nahi hone wala.
Ab kuch nahi hone wala hai na? Pratosh, are you there? This is so regulatory and all that I don't want to take chances. My company secretary.
And sincere apologies on the delay in your.
No worries. You saved us money.
So something good came out of this.
Hello? Ye kya wapas recording kyun shuru hua hai?
तो आपने स्टॉप नहीं किया आपने more kiya na usne. हाँ इस पर जाइए, यहाँ पर स्टॉप, यहाँ पर मोर पे कीजिए, रिकॉर्ड और ट्रांसफर, स्टॉप रिकॉर्डिंग, स्टॉप.